Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Each week, we tackle a different issue that's uniquely Portland. So tune in every Saturday to hear a new episode complete with interviews and editorial that helps explain our city. From Portland's leading paper comes a brand new way to engage with the news, sports, arts, and culture. Stick around. Welcome to episode 18 of the Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Welcome to the episode, but also welcome to May. Today is May 1st. If you're listening on Saturday, May 2nd on Sunday, you can do the math for what Monday is. It's great to be here with you. We have a great show for you. We talked to Rachel Monahan about her cover story. More on that later. After the interview, I go over the Willamette Week endorsement meetings, the endorsements we've got for you. We have some measures and some school board members who are running, but first, everything you need to know this week, all the headlines. This is the 90-second news flash. Columbus Day is months away, and yet it's already making headlines. The Oregon House is voting on whether to change the day to Indigenous Peoples Day. Intel shareholders have asked the company to publish two reports, one on median pay based on gender and race, and another on whether Intel's unwritten norms have promoted a racist culture within the company. Intel, the largest employer in the state, has shown hesitancy to do so. Governor Kate Brown has shut down indoor dining as COVID-19 cases rise in Oregon and Portland. This month could be historic as it could be the driest April in Portland's history. Federal prosecutors say a Hillsborough man assaulted Capitol Police at the infamous attack on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. And guys, here's some good news. Our state is growing up. We are gaining a 6th congressional district. And honestly, I'm really unaware of what that means. And I'd love to cover it today, but we've got an interview to get to. But I promise you, we will talk about it in a episode that I plan coming up. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the 90-Second News Flash. Folks, this week we bring you an interview with Rachel Monahan. Rachel wrote this week's cover story about the Oregon Convention Center, which is the largest vaccination center in Oregon. One of eight Oregonians got their COVID vaccine in this one location. Rachel calls it a logistical masterpiece, and I wanted to find out if the hype was real. Take a listen. You know, it's funny. People have been talking about how effective our rollout has been. Biden keeps moving up the times on when the different phases of vaccinations are going out because it's been a fast. But whenever I hear a story about a really good vaccination center or how quick the rollout is, I'm always bit like a little bit under impressed because I'm like, well, you had 10 months to figure this out. We're putting billions of dollars into this. If you give me a couple million dollars in 10 months to figure out the convention center, I feel like I could do that. Am I delusional? And is this just way harder than I'm giving it credit? Or is this more an example of, hey, for the past year, we've kind of been down on America and our ability to mobilize people to get things done. And now it's back. What story is this?
Well, I think there's a little bit of both, but my understanding is that this vaccine clinic was set up in 3 weeks. It wasn't set up in 6 months. Stay tuned for a story about the failings around that, like the short preparation time. But I think the hospitals came together really last minute or were assigned this task. It's not on the hospitals. I don't believe it's on the hospitals, the last minute nature of it. But they did it really quickly. So let's just stop for a minute. Like we have, in the United States, we have not had to vaccinate our entire adult population or all the adults who would be willing to take a vaccine in a very short amount of time. That hasn't happened in a generation or more. So this is historic to do this. And I think that I kind of got interested in this story slowly, but I was not vaccinated there, so I didn't experience it firsthand that way, but I got to visit as a journalist. And, just we have failed, the story says, as the story says, so many institutions have failed during the pandemic. And this is just everyone who goes through. I haven't heard anyone socially or people I talk to for this story say anything other than this was really, really efficient. Like, I think there are other gaps in our, you know, in our vaccination, even in the vaccination process.
Yeah, that's a great answer. That's exactly what I was looking for. Cause I, like I said, I was kind of like, well, big whoop. But, but no, it was gonna be really interesting to see, like you said, there's a story coming on why it took 3 months and 3 weeks to do this and why there was that time gap. I mean, obviously this in 3 weeks is very impressive. So you go back to talking about not only the article, but already in this interview, how excited people are. People are coming 30 minutes early. That's how excited they are. They go get themselves, treats after, whether it's weed or food or desserts, in celebration of getting vaccinated. And I, you know, I felt very excited to get fully vaccinated. I was very excited. I'm sure you were as well. For about 15 minutes, I was excited. And then since then, I've still had to wear a mask everywhere I go. I still feel a little weird when I'm around more than three people at a time, you know, and the CDC came out with new guidelines about how if you're fully vaccinated, you won't have to wear a mask unless you're like at Coachella. But I feel like society kind of decides whether you're going to be wearing a mask or going back to normal. I don't want to be the first, you know, person without a mask in Fred Meyer. How much do you think actually changes when we're vaccinated?
Well, this would go back to a conversation we had last week. I'm just going to hit this note every time I've given a chance to, is that, and I was actually listening to an epidemiologist being interviewed by a program I still listen to in New York, a podcast in podcast format. And the basic gist is vaccinations work best at the community level, because essentially what science tells us is that a vaccine lowers our risk of getting the disease. It does not eliminate the risk. So when case counts are high and you have and you are vaccinated, there is still a chance that you could get COVID. So what we are waiting for, what you should be waiting for, the CDC guidance doesn't tell you to take off your mask inside yet. It tells you to take off your mask outside, which probably you're already doing some of. What we're waiting for is enough people to get vaccinated that case counts go down. And I would also say the way that vaccinations have worked in the United States, the people who are most at risk of getting COVID have not necessarily been the first in line, with the exception of emergency room doctors, COVID nurses, and nursing home staff and residents. And you could say prisons as well, but that's a smaller number. The other people who have been getting COVID in the greatest numbers, at least in Oregon, were not prioritized for vaccines, and they still have not been vaccinated in the highest numbers. So in Oregon, in Portland, the numbers suggest that the people with the greatest advantages got to the vaccines first to a degree. And so we're waiting for everyone else to get their vaccine. And the pandemic is getting worse right now in Portland and Oregon. And so even if you're vaccinated, the public health advice remains that you should wear your mask inside. You should wear your mask when you're going to be with crowds outside. Sorry.
Yeah, that's not good enough, Rachel. I want you to come in and be like,
okay, so
on August 3rd, you will be able to go to Denny's and not have a mask.
First off, I go through phases with my mask. I hate it sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I can ignore it other times, but I totally understand. I understand the urge not to wear a mask at least some of the time.
There has been a lot of talk about there being too many vaccines, right? Because we bought so many, bought every vaccine that was available from Pfizer and Moderna, and now people are hesitant about getting it, or millions of people are missing their second dose appointment for whatever reason. Did the convention center talk at all about like a massive surplus of vaccinations that they have in the back?
No. They don't have any surplus there. Every vaccine they get, they basically get out within a week. I think this didn't go into the story, but I asked how many vaccines do you have left over at the end of your week? And they're like 5 vials.
Wow.
So that's
tight,
like,
math. That is tight,
yes.
Math.
Yes.
Wow.
So at the end of the day, they go through and they click for how many people, like with an old fashioned clicker, they click for how many people are in the center so they don't make extra doses, so they don't waste any. If they have too many made up, they go to volunteers who have yet to be vaccinated, though at this point most of their volunteers have been vaccinated first and second doses, I believe. But they also, then what they do is they go to their list of people who have signed up through getvaccinated.oregon.gov, and they start calling down the list to get people to the convention center. And they wait until they have put the vaccines in arms.
Wow.
As far as I know, they have not wasted any doses that way of making up too many vaccines in a day.
Wow. So, yeah. Okay, you're making me a little bit more impressed. Maybe I couldn't do that. Maybe I couldn't plan that.
Well, I mean, I could walk you through some of the things that stood out to me logistically of like what's involved. I mean,
yeah, please
first,
do.
I loved the golf pencils. That was my favorite part of the whole thing.
Explain that.
So everyone who goes through there has to fill out a questionnaire, like registration insurance kind of thing. That takes a minute or two or four. I can't remember what the time count is. But to do that, they're given a golf pencil. Somebody mentioned that in an interview with me about going through. And I was like, golf pencils? Oh, gosh, they must, you know, golf pencils are cheap. They're little. You can probably throw them out. That's probably why they got them, so that they don't have to like worry that people don't have something to write with and or that it's something valuable and they can't throw out the thing. But it turns out that they bought that for this. I mean, one thing is the scale of this is they, right. I mean, more than one out of every 8 people and doses that have been given in Oregon have been given at the convention center.
Wow.
So the other thing is like they bought out every golf pencil they could find in the Tri-County area when they set up the convention center. And that maybe because golfing is a little slower during the pandemic, they couldn't find more golf pencils to replace the supply. So they actually wash golf pencils. So I love that detail.
That's so cool.
That's
because
fun.
Yeah, that is a fun detail.
But let me just keep going. 1,100 people go through the convention center every hour it's open. And so that means to keep everyone moving along, they have to keep the crowd moving. So they make sure when people come in that they have an appointment that day. So nobody like is taking up a registration spot trying to work out when their appointment actually is. Like they detour people out of the line if they don't have proof of their appointment, just so they can keep the line going, keep the arms on the conveyor belt to the shots, basically.
One of the things I most despise in life is needles. And I hate needles. And every time I would go in and do my checkups when I was even younger, and even now I still hate needles. I get anxious. You know, whenever a nurse would come in and give me a vaccine, I really kind of noticed that it's kind of an art, right? You know, doing it quickly, but also getting it all in. And so how do they train people to do it correctly and well?
So this is something that also didn't go into the story, and I forget what they called her, but they had a desk where a nurse was sitting, and it was basically quality assurance on people who are coming to give vaccines. So if you were a retired nurse or doctor and you hadn't given vaccines in the last year, you had to go through and show this person that you knew how to do it and remembered how to do it. They had a fake arm set up. They had a fake arm. They had all the supplies you need to give a vaccine. They had, and this is another like this is another window into where we are in the pandemic, but there's a needles shortage in the world right now. So there are multiple kinds of needles to give the vaccine. There are four, I think, or five different kinds of needles that the nurses and doctors and techs who are giving vaccines have to be familiar with. So all of those were laid out on the desk. So everyone that would come through would have seen them before they actually use them.
How does the convention center ensure that you are getting your second vaccine and that, like, if I need my second vaccine, I'm going to go get Pfizer versus Moderna?
So they've switched over to all Pfizer for a couple of reasons, but one of them is logistical, to make sure it's just easier logistically in the actual Oregon Convention Center to get everybody on the same vaccine. They don't have to worry about safety concerns of mixing of any human error of mixing that up. But logistically, how that happens is when you're not separated into first and second doses in the convention center until the waiting area. So anyone who hasn't had a vaccine may or may not know, you're observed for 15 minutes after your vaccine because the most acute allergic reactions, which are very extremely rare, have happened quickly for people. If you have a history of allergies to anything significant, you have to wait a half an hour. But while you are waiting, you're separated into first and second doses, and the first doses sit closest to multiple options for booking. So as soon as you've had your first vaccine, you get an email to schedule the second. So you can use the 15 minutes that you're waiting to see if you have an allergic reaction to schedule on your phone, or they have computers on wheels, as they call them. COWS is a nickname in the medical industry for laptop carts. Essentially, you'd see them in a hospital to go around and schedule people. And there are also computers on the side. But a volunteer gatekeeper sits at the end, at the exit, and like asks everybody to whether they've scheduled their vaccine.
Biden came out and said that for privacy reasons and for personal right reasons, he's not going to push a federally mandated vaccine passport. Do you expect to see like private like businesses push a vaccine passport? Like, will I have to flash a Pfizer passport to get into somewhere this summer?
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you want to go anywhere this summer that doesn't require vaccines to get in?
No, that's the thing is I was a little bit like, I feel like we should have a federally mandated vaccine passport. Not that it should be like that restrictive, but I feel like we should be able to, completely isolate people who want to get vaccines.
I ask it that way because I think that there's going to be demand for that from people who have gotten vaccines, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
American institutions continue to disappoint.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
On those days when I'm really alone, realize the voice I miss is my own. When did I forget how to hold my own head? Still can't understand.
Folks, we end our show with a recap of Willamette Week's endorsements. For PPS School Board Zone 4, Willamette Week endorses Herman Green. School Board 5, we endorse Gary Hollins. Zone 6 is Julia Brim Edwards. Vote yes on Oregon Historical Society measure and read the endorsement while you're at it for this one. Rachel calls this endorsement a piece of poetry. And yes, I thought the same thing. No, she didn't write this one. Well, folks, that's our show. And one more thing before we go, we are moving Distant Voices release date to Wednesday from Tuesday. So if you want to listen to Distant Voices, come back on Wednesdays, not Tuesdays. There you have it. Come back next week for a very special guest. Special episode, should be a lot of fun. Episode 18 in the books. Thanks so much for listening. See you Wednesday. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Willamette Week podcast. For more information, go to wweek.com, follow Willamette Week on all socials, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at HankSandersPDX. Special thank you to our guests for joining us, and thank you to Aaron Mesh, Mark Zussman, and Brian Panganiban, and the rest of the Willamette Week newsroom. Signing off, I'm Hank Sanders. This has been the Willamette Week podcast.